Well, good afternoon, fellas. Afternoon. You got me this afternoon. Sorry about that. Apologise now. Yeah, you wait till it's later. Okay, what we're going to do this afternoon is we're going to look at CVM, Christian Vision for Men, our kind of methodology, the way that we have found works for a men's group and men to bring men to a position where they can make a decision for Jesus. It's something we've developed over many, many years. This was first kind of, its first iteration was way back in late tail end of the 80s, 1989, I think. And we're just going to canter through it. I will ask if you've got any questions or thoughts, if you hold them till the Q&A session afterwards. I won't deal with them as we go. And then Kyle and I and Dave will be around as well, and we'll try and address them and sort them out. Now, obviously, this is geared at the UK church, and some of the stats are obviously UK men. Some of the stats we have actually made up ourselves, but they work. You'll find out some of them as we go along. But it works, you know. So this is our way of working, particularly with men's groups. Men's groups are key to all that we do. A group of men based in a church, not necessarily in a church, a local area. We do have some specialised groups. We'll talk a little bit about that as we go on. So hopefully this will help you. Some of it won't be applicable, some of it will be. And hopefully you'll take away from this some thoughts and ideas about how you, as individuals, can get alongside men, non-Christian men, men on the fringe of church, who you really desperately want to bring to Jesus, or as a church group, starting a men's group, and you can work together as a group to bring your friends to know Jesus, because ultimately, that's the Great Commission. Okay, so here we go then, winning men, which doesn't work. Great. Here we go. So this is CVM's vision. It's been around for a long time. Men plus CVM plus God, we're looking to introduce a million men to God, to Jesus across the UK. We haven't actually kept stats. We're terrible at it. So we probably introduced about three. But no, there are a lot more than that. A lot more than that. We know we do keep them from the gathering. Over 1,000 at the gathering. And men's groups are bringing guys to faith and individuals. So that is our long-term vision. There is no period of time. That's our vision at the moment. And once we got to a million, we'll go to 2 million. It's like whatever. But that's our vision. A million men introduced Jesus. It's a great vision, and we keep that at the forefront of what we do. So here we go. Or not, as the case may be. All right. Okay, can we just pause that a second? Can I pause that? Okay, we'll come back to that just in a second. Right, this little film here is about cheese rolling. It's a great tradition in the UK, and we use this little clip to show you the difference between men and women. How men approach things and women approach things differently. Like I mentioned yesterday about my wife, and the baby, just watch this and see the differences in approach. Come on. Here we go.
Now, Jesus Christ.
All nice and sedate.
Now you'll see the men. It's the cheese. Down here. You're chasing the cheese.
my kidneys last year.
Like you did.
Tradition.
Tradition. Tradition. That's your reason. So we, you know, you come to the conclusion that men and women need to do things differently sometimes. Yes, we do a load of stuff together, but sometimes we have to do things differently for men, different situations, different approaches, work differently for men than they do for women. So now I'm just going to canter through some stats, some thoughts. Again, these are UK, as I say. So we've discovered that men think the church is irrelevant and it's only for wimps and women. What do your mates think about the church? Yeah? Rhetorical question at the moment. And a lot of men just think, oh, what a waste of space. It's a crutch, all that sort of stuff. And we've discovered over the years that a lot of men think that until someone comes alongside them and starts to show them what following Jesus is all about. That is very much the church is irrelevant. Not necessarily faith is irrelevant, but the church is seen to be irrelevant. Excluding weddings and funerals, 60% of men have never been to a church. Well, I've spoken to a few of you here, and I know a couple of you in particular said, for the first 15, 20 years of my life, never went to church except for a wedding or a funeral. Again, most blokes you speak to at work or side of the football pitch when you're with your kids, it just does not enter their radar at all. It's just not on their agenda. This is a great stat that we did a survey a few years ago with the Christian Men's Magazine in the UK. And this is the result. 50% of men feel more comfortable in a ladies' underwear shop and only 33% of men feel comfortable in church. True. Just think about your own mates. That's probably, you know, you walk in through the church door. What on earth is going on here? What is this? Who's that bloke up the front in a dress? Who is he? What's he doing? In a lot of churches in the UK, who is that bloke up the front in a dress? What's that all about? So they do not feel comfortable. Sat in rows. Most men don't sit in rows anywhere and listen to some bloke rambling on. 62% of regular attendees of church in the UK are middle class. I don't know what your class, I don't think that's as big a thing here from what we conversations we've been having as it is in the UK. 38% are white working class in the UK. A huge difference because church is geared for middle class. It's all about supper parties and house groups and let's go into someone's house. Working class people don't open up their homes. It just doesn't happen. Something we found since we've moved back further up north. You don't get beyond the door. So most men, straight away, there's a barrier. There's something that's alien to their way of thinking and doing life. And men between the age of 40 to 55, we find, are stopping going to church when those who do go very early on because they're taking the kids, because it's the right thing to do. So we're going to take the kids to church. That's all very good. And then when the kids stop going, what's the point? So they don't go either. And they drift away because they're not embedded in a fellowship. They're not embedded with their mates. And there's nothing to keep them at church. Unpartnered men, especially the working class, are the least likely to attend a place of worship. So single men, even less than married men. Because very often, it's the wife who wants to go to church for the kids, so hubby goes along as well. Don't know if this is resonating with you for here, but this is definitely true for the UK. They just don't go. In the UK, that's the stat. One man to two women ratio in the church. And obviously that opens up a whole raft of challenges, a whole load of things. And we've written a book, Nathan Blackerby, who does not look anything like that at all, actually, to be fair. He's got long hair and, that's an old photo. But Nathan, they've written this book, Seven Reasons Your Church Needs More Men. And it's a good read. We bought just We bought one copy of all our resources. If you want to look at them, have a look and then order them off the internet, and it will do my admin lady's head in when she gets loads of orders from Australia. So please order. That'll be just hilarious next Monday. But that's a great book, and it gives you lots of reasoning and statistics as to why some of the stuff I've just outlined very briefly there, as to why we need more men. So again, very quickly, we won't go through these in huge detail, but you can read them for yourselves. 2.5 million less men than women in the UK church. 55% of men in the last survey, no religion. No religion, just nothing at all. Not even what denomination are you, just of no religion at all. And then you can see men aged 35 to 39, down from 66% to 47% 2011. We haven't got the latest stats in there yet, but it's a downward trend. And interestingly there, 25% of Christian men, of men who declared themselves Christian, were from European countries, not ethnic Brits, if you want to put it that way. So we've got a lot of guys coming in, particularly Polish and folk like that, who come in and are mainstream, Catholic mainly, but still saying they are Christian men. Got a life of its own. Generally, it's an interesting one. More women pray daily than men. They probably pray for their men, to be honest, but who knows. But this just gives you a background as to why we do what we do. We need to get the church and our own men who are Christians engaged with their mates on outreach, on evangelism, not just going to church. And how about this one? 2.5 million women marriage to a Christian man is not possible. If you've got daughters, guys, and you're wanting them to marry a Christian man, have a look around. There ain't that many around. And if a Christian parent, you want them to marry a Christian man, maybe we need to find one and target him now. Yeah, exactly. And there's their choice very often. Stay single and childless or marry a non-Christian. It's a reality, isn't it? For a lot of Christian women, young girls in our churches. And here we go. We all know this one. Spiritual fatherlessness. Only 11% of grandchildren in the UK will have a Christian father and mother if current trends continue. I will go back to that one. And kids have not got any spiritual people to look to. Carl was talking about mentors, about people, spiritual fathers who worked alongside him, because his father was not a spiritual man, was not a Christian, so he needed someone to mentor him. And as we grow older, talking to John and a couple of others, what is our role as we get older? We can be incredible mentors to children as Christian men to bring them on in their faith. So think about that as well. Who are we mentoring? Who are we growing in the faith as spiritual fathers and uncles and brothers? If you're younger, get alongside the kids in your youth group who maybe haven't got spiritual parents or parents who are even coming to church. So another little thing, a reason why we need to get engaged. And this is quite alarming, really. I'll let you read them. Absent fathers not doing their role, not fulfilling their role. Speaking to some of you, I understand that you've got a huge youth crime issue in the country at the moment. Absent fathers, in a lot of those cases, I'm sure. Certainly we see that in the UK. Broken homes. So as the church, what are we doing to make up for that gap of men who are living up to God's standards and doing what God wants and reaching out to those men who are absent fathers to start taking responsibility? Blokes are not very good at friendships either. When do you contact your mates? It's an interesting thing when you start to read it. Close friends. You have friends who you might meet down the pub or the sports club, but how close are you with them? How much can you open up with them? And no one to turn to when it all. We'll touch on something a little bit more on that in a minute. But friendlessness is a big problem, and the church should be. We should be, as Christian men, presenting a community of men who can become alongside these guys, befriend them, and introduce them to Jesus. That's ultimately what it's about. Here we go. It's the most common cause of death for men under 50 in the UK, believe it or not. It has decreased a little bit, but interestingly, when you see a man who is literally about to take his life reach out to a mate or a group of mates, in the vast majority of cases, they pull them back from the brink. Those who've got no one to turn to, that's it. Suicide is a huge problem in the UK, and there's a huge thing about getting men to talk more. I don't know if that's the same here, mental health stuff, getting men to engage more, be more honest and open about their challenges, stuff that's going on in their lives. I mean, Carl, was so incredibly open and honest this morning about what's been going on in his life. But we can't do that with everybody. We need to have a close group of friends. And if we haven't got that, then when something hits the fan, it's a problem. We spiral downwards. So these are some of the reasons why we do what we do. This is anecdotal, but it works out on average from a friendship forming with a non-Christian mate, on average 5 years for that bloke to make a commitment, if he does, doesn't always, takes 30 times to hear the gospel. Not just going to church or having a chat, but to actually be told the gospel. What is the gospel? The life, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ and what it means to you. That is the gospel. And we're not very good at telling them that, are we? Because we're tongue-tied. And in the middle there, 80% brought by a friend. They don't just wander in, most people, and get saved. It doesn't work like that. They're brought by a mate, by a friend. And 95% of men are tongue-tied. We don't talk. We made that one up, but it's true. We made the 95% stat up. So don't quote us on that. In fact, don't quote any of this. But 95% of men are not very good at talking. We're not, are we? We don't talk to people very well. And if we do, we don't talk about what's really going on in our lives. How are you doing? Oh, I'm great. No, you're not. You're rubbish. That's the truth. You talk to most people on a Sunday morning. How are you? Oh, brilliant. I'm fine. My wife says to me, yeah, when you say you're fine, it says you're feeling inadequate and you need encouragement. Yeah, that's fair. That's true. Yeah. Okay, so that's just a very, why do we need to be specific? Why do we need to be targeted in our evangelism to men, in our outreach to men? And I'm sure here you'll have different stats, you'll have different things within your churches. Sorry?
Very similar.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Whew, got away with that one. So here is our strategy for winning men. And it's very, very difficult. Firstly, you need to make some mates. Then you mention Jesus in the conversation. Then you tell them loads more. And you see him become committed. What's hard about that? Simple, isn't it? Right, that's it. Done. I hope you enjoyed that. Most Christian men, this is our experience, fall at point one or point two. How many, don't need to answer this, how many non-Christian outside of church mates have you guys got? And I know for a lot, they say, actually, when you start looking at it, not many. Not mates, you might have some work colleagues. You might have people you meet down the football pitch or at the running club or at the park run who pick you up when you slip over on that horrible red mud. Not that I know anybody who did that this morning. I thought it was just normal English gloopy mud that you just ran through. No, it's lovely red clay, slippy mud that you slip over and go bang on your heart and it hurts. Allegedly. So we need to make mates.
Liv and Clara met at rock climbing. They get on like a house on fire. Jeff and Michael met through their wives. They get on like two men who met through their wives. The Guardian and The Observer, filled with things you actually want to do.
A lot of us, our mates, are actually our wives' best friend's husband. By default. Not necessarily the sort of bloke you choose to have as a friend. Which is an interesting thing. Who are your mates? So, we encourage you to just do some stuff that is just stuff that you enjoy doing with your mates. No talk at the end of it. No homily, no worship songs, no prayers. Just make some mates and do stuff together, do life together. This is the first stage, building relationship, building friendship. We talked about that just now. Starting to build friendship, getting outside, having a laugh. And you'll find that these guys soon will think that they'll know you're a Christian. And they'll actually think, oh, he's a Christian. He's actually quite normal. He actually enjoys whatever it may be. You know, these are just some examples. I run, I fiddle with old cars, and I play music. So that's where you meet people, down the pub when you're having a gig or in a band with non-Christian mates. Something you enjoy doing and invite others to it. Now, this could be a group of you from the church. Have a golf day and invite each of you, invite a non-Christian mate. Just play golf. You don't have to do anything special about it. Just play golf. Then there's so much you can do. It doesn't all have to be adrenaline stuff. It can be gardening. Yeah, I mean, I know Carl loves his garden. My wife loves our garden. I love my wife loving our garden. I would concrete it, but there we go. I put a pit in, drive my Ford Capri over it and fiddle with the engine forever. But it doesn't need, and there we go. No need for an epilogue talk, just have some fun together with blokes. So, yeah, pub night, pub, go to the pub quiz, play darts, whatever it may be. And there's an interesting one there, don't, know your audience, if you like, know who you're inviting, because if you're suddenly going to go somewhere that costs a whole lot of dosh, some of them that may be awkward for some, or be prepared to pay for it, whatever. And then we start to mention Jesus in a conversation. We start to talk a little bit more about who Jesus is and what he means to someone. So maybe you'll have a breakfast or the obligatory curry night in the UK, or a golf day, and at the end of it, you find a golf pro who's a Christian who just gives a 10-minute epilogue. Because by now, they trust you. They know you're not going to go stupid. They know that it's whatever, it's going to be gentle. It's not in your face. It's just a gentle bringing Jesus into the conversation. So if you've got a men's group at church, you have a men's breakfast or a sausage sizzle or whatever it is you do, and then at the end of that, someone, just a 5-minute little talk that brings Jesus into that so they don't run a mile. And then you tell them loads more. Now, here we start to think about bringing in stuff like Alpha. I don't know, Alpha, I guess, in Australia. Christianity Explored, and I'm sure you've got other courses. Many churches we find in the UK, I don't know if it's the same here, use one of those courses, whatever their favourite is, as a starting point. they invite them straight in to an alpha course. That doesn't work because they will come off a relationship. They will come with you to something, having built a trust in you that, they're now inquiring. They're now beginning to inquire. Randomly walking up to your bloke at work, mate at work, and saying, do you want to come to an alpha course? Generally speaking, doesn't work without a relationship there. So then informal chats, and we find that you may need to run alpha just for blokes. Sometimes, you know, if they're struggling with something, they're struggling with a porn addiction or something, and there's dear old Edna who's been making the tea in the corner, and they won't open up about their porn addiction to dear old Edna, but they might open up to you on a one-to-one or afterwards, and you need to be prepared for that. But very, very often, men's only groups like this can work. And then after that, and that takes, as we're saying, we're talking about a 5-year process here. This ain't going to happen overnight. And then they need to have an opportunity to respond to everything they've heard, everything they've been taught, everything they've seen in you through the film nights, through the whatever you've been doing, the go-karting, the gardening, whatever it may be, and they've seen you, and they've seen that you're a genuine friend who's interested in them. And then you just need to somehow make that opportunity. And for us, for our men's groups, we give them that opportunity in the gathering. We also do regional things. And, you know, we've got a whole list of speakers, which I'll talk about in a minute. So you need to build in something that is overtly, straight down the line, gospel presentation that you can bring these guys to who you've been journeying with for a long time. And for us, as I say, we do that at the gathering. So that's it. That is the four-level strategy. It's very, very simple, but it ain't easy. Make some mates. Mention Jesus in conversation. And that, for some of us, is very difficult, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I know when I was away at sea, personal experience, when you're living with guys cheek by jowl, all they see is you falling off your pedestal that they put you on and then taking a mick, which is great fun. But when you're living with them, they see you warts and all. And that's what they've got to see. They've got to see that you're just a normal bloke who fouls up, who swears when he gets a 440-volt shock in the operations room on a Type 22 frigate, gets thrown across the ops room into the captain's chair, which happened to me, and I shouted, oh dear, at the top of my voice. And the captain, honestly, no word of a lie, he looked over his chair, and I was like this against his chair. He looked over his, he had half-rimmed glasses. He was a great bloke. He looked over his chair and he said, was that you, Chief Petty Officer Martin? I said, yes, it was, sir. He said, I didn't know you knew such language, Chief. And then it went all the way around the ship. Pincher swore in the ops room. But actually, that just makes them realise that you're just a normal bloke. I actually got drunk once on the ship as well. Sorry, this is a bit of a side track. And I'd been... my mate, we were doing a handover in the Adriatic during the Bosnia conflict. And we were alongside the ship for 2 days to do a handover. And I had a very good mate on the ship that was going home. We were coming out. And I went round to his, and the whole idea was to go ashore, get a meal. And we didn't get out of his mess. And we'd had a couple of pints. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning. And as I came out from the ship, I didn't drink, I hardly drank anything at sea. I never did. And goodness knows how much I'd had, but I'd had more than 2 pints. And as I came out onto the flight deck, of course, the fresh air hit me. And I was like, boom, and I had no idea what was going on. So literally, I came off the flight deck of one ship, and I had to walk the length of the ship, and we were bow to bow, and then the length of my ship, and back up on the flight deck again. So I came down, and it took me half an hour to get from the bottom of his gangway to the bottom of my gangway. I was snaking up and down the jetty like this. 1 o'clock in the morning. And by the time, honestly true, by the time I got to the bottom of our gangway, virtually the entire ship's company had got out of bed to watch me come up the gangway. The captain was out there. The first lieutenant was out there. I was not singing. Well, I that sort of thing. And I didn't see any of them. And I just wandered up the gangway, went to bed, got up the following morning late, which again I just never did. And what am I going to do? So I chucked my working rig on and I'm walking through the ship. And everybody is going, morning, morning. I'm going, what? Stokers who I'd never spoken to, morning. I'm like, why are you saying good morning to me? And then I saw the captain and he said, good morning, Charge. I said, morning, sir. He said, good night last night. I went, oh, no. Like, and he just smiled and wandered off up one deck. But actually, what that does then is important how you deal with that. And your mates, actually, it actually opened up something for me and I could have some incredible conversations with blokes after that. But it's that level of friendship, that level of openness, which I think very often as Christian men, we don't have with non-Christian men. We may have it with men in the church, which is great, and please don't get me wrong, we're talking about spiritual fathers, spiritual uncles, spiritual brothers, all that are incredibly important. But actually, if we're going to win men for Christ, we've got to come together as groups within our church, enable each other, support each other, give opportunities for us to bring our mates to things like we've talked about, and then slowly, slowly, slowly show them that actually you are not a wimp. If you follow Jesus, in fact, you're the opposite. I wouldn't say hearing Carl's story this morning that anyone would call Carl a wimp, or you wouldn't say that his faith is irrelevant. Going to church on a Sunday might seem irrelevant, and in fact, we don't do church on a Sunday anymore. Oh, we won't go into that now. We do it all week. That's a different talk. But hopefully, you'll see that we've got to be. Focused on this. We've got to be strategic. And as men, we like that, don't we? We like a bit of strategy, a bit of planning. And we would... this is a kind of annual program that our groups would work. We don't have these things every week. So you'll have a level one, just to, you know, get out sailing or whatever it is, once every term. Well, once in those terms. And then a level two, so a curry night with a speaker. So you've been out on your yacht down the Gold Coast, and then you come back for a sausage sizzle, and then you invite those guys to the gathering or whatever, or to something like this. But it is purposely outreach and evangelistic. And the level three, the Alpha course, those sorts of things are ongoing. You just run them whenever people you're ready. You don't just run one in the autumn because that's what the church does. The blokes might be ready for one. You might have two or three blokes ready for one in January, so you run it in January. So you've got to be fleet of foot as well. Very quickly, because a lot of this is geared around the UK, we've got hundreds of men's groups in partnership with local churches. We've got area coordinators and regions. We'd love to see this growing here. And we run national and regional events. Groups come together locally for those outreach events. Because sometimes if you've only got two or three blokes in a church group, in a men's group, you need to come together so you can pool resources and you can work together like this. You couldn't do this from one group. And we run various, the gathering, we don't do the autumn conference anymore, we used to. We run a sports week in Lanzarote. Someone gave us a couple of timeshares, so we take guys out to Lanzarote and regional days. And we have a whole raft of resources. I won't go into them all. I've got examples of them over here. Please do come and have a look through. All available on the website. And if you want to sign up to follow CVM, to get our emails and that, you can do that via the website. Or I think I've got something called a QR code. I don't understand it. I have no idea what it is. But it's a thing with a few little black lines on it. And apparently you put your phone over it and it takes you straight to somewhere. but that, those will be out. And the Winning Men, we have an app called Winning Men, which is updated with our resources. At the moment, it's totally UK-based, but you'd be more than willing to jump onto that and see what's going on across the UK. And we would like maybe in the future that we could set up an Australia section within that app. And if there's someone who would, if that kind of takes your fancy, come and have a chat with us. We'd be very keen to talk to someone to develop an Australia subgroup within Winning Men app. So do come and talk to me about that if that's something you have the technology and the skills to do, because I don't. I will write it on a bit of paper, put it in an envelope and send it to you. Again, all sorts of reading plans, buy books. Carl and Nathan do a podcast, which is very well followed now. And The Crazy Way is our, we got a whole load of testimony videos online that are, that you can use in your evangelism in outreach. Groups will use them. If they haven't got it, they can show one of these little videos to their group. And so that's A Crazy Way. And this is one of our guys, Justin Rees-Larkham, just a clip of that. That one.
I'd lost my job directly as a consequence of my gambling. Emma had left, she'd taken the children with her.
I also love sports, and at times there was a little bit of a clash there.
I decided that I would end my life by jumping from a railway bridge.
Couldn't even bother to get dressed, couldn't even bother to go for a walk.
Identity chasing the affirmation from other people is a pretty futile experience.
Really angry thoughts going through my mind as to, you know, why God had done this.
No one ever goes to uni to want to fail. And it's like, you know what, relax, just what will happen, just do your best kind of thing.
For me, it got to a point where I'd be frightened of the phone ringing, post coming through the door.
I just sank lower and lower. I managed to get through basic training.
A priest walked into my cell one day and gave me a Gideon Bible, and that changed my life.
So they're all on our YouTube channel and website. There's a whole load of videos on there, short videos, long videos, but yet again, that you can use, testimony videos of how Jesus changed men's lives. And that ultimately is what we're about. This one very much, UK, Start Men's Group, promote CVM. Grand challenge, we encourage guys to get out there and do something ridiculous and get it sponsored. And that gentleman is it. So I just hope that that has sown some seeds, sown some thoughts, and probably some questions, which we'll take in the next session. If you run a men's group or want to thinking about running one, or feel God is challenging you to get something together in your own vicinity, come and talk to us afterwards. We've got some stuff that we can help you with that, or either online, or we can email you, get in touch with us, and we can walk with you if you want to start a men's group. If you're already running one and want some ideas, there's loads of stuff on there, and on the Winning Men app, a whole load of thoughts and ideas on there. You know, we're all the top 10s, they're all there. So if you want to do a top 10 breakfast, yeah, nick it. Nick everything. There, what's it, Carl? No copyright in the kingdom. Is that right, mate? Yeah, no copyright in the kingdom. Unless you're a songwriter, then there is. I'm nicking Carl's best lines now. That's it, gents. I hope you found that interesting and helpful and stimulate. I hope it will stimulate further thought and discussion. Come and have a look at the resources. Please don't nick them, because I've got to take them down to Melbourne. We haven't got any books left. I nicked them all up at Brisbane. I was going to bring two sets, but it put me over the weight limit, along with all my Marmite. Gentlemen, let's just pray, and then we'll knock it on the head. Father, we thank you for what you're doing here in Australia with men and men's groups. And we pray that this will be, for some of these guys here, it will be the start of a journey that sees men come together to purposely witness in a new way to their mates, and we will see thousands of men challenged by the gospel, challenged to live aright, challenged to live by biblical principles, that we will see this nation changed by men coming to Christ. And there are any men here now who are feeling the prompt of your spirit, just pray that you'll quicken that. And if there are men who know mates who they need to be telling about you, again, that you'll equip them, you'll give them the courage and the strength to reach out to their mates with a message, the good news, the eternal hope that is only found in Jesus. Amen.